So let's just go ahead and get into it. I'm going to go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to be here this morning, Lord. Thank you for these folks coming out. And Lord, many of them here didn't know who was preaching this today. And Lord, they didn't come to hear from who's ever standing up here, Lord. They came to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that you would honor that. I ask that you would get me out of their way. Lord, I ask that you cleanse me and wash me in the blood. I thank you for the blood that cleanses from all sin, Lord. And I pray that you would just give me a clarity of thought and speech, Lord, and help what is said to be the right thing, what you would have said only, Lord. And I pray you just be with the service to follow. And bless that, Lord, as well. And just pray you would just be with Pastor and Marcy as they're away. Help it be a time of refreshing, and pray be with the church that he's ministering to as well. Lord, pray they would be edified as well. And Lord, we thank you for him and his diligence and just his faithfulness through all these years. And Lord, happy to be a part of allowing him to be able to get away, Lord, and just help minister and what he's done with us here all these years. Lord, I pray you just be with this morning's lesson, and bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's really not, I know it's a Sunday school, so it's really not like a Sunday school type of a lesson, but it's my thought process, so to speak. And so not that long ago, I heard a message on this topic, and coming through my Bible reading, I was coming through Corinthians and hit a verse on in there. And so hearing the message and got me, and then reading, kind of got this thought going and kind of been thinking about it the last couple of weeks. And I tell you, it's been a journey, and nothing that's out of control or anything like that. But if we were to put a title on it, I want to call it A Weary Christian, or Getting Weary in Your Journey, something like that. And I know this is something that we all most likely face in our Christian life. And if you're honest with yourself, it probably has happened more times than we care to admit. And you know, as we go through the Christian life, sometimes it gets weary. We get tired. We just kind of want to take a break and get away from things after once in a while, and that's okay. But you may say, how? I mean, you think to yourself, how can you get weary? And I've been thinking, how can I get weary? Think of what we've gone through the last few weeks, right? We've had some good Bible preaching, good Bible studies. We just had a revival. Many of us were edified. We heard a lot of good preaching. And so you think, how can you get weary? We're constantly surrounded by that. That should keep you going, right? Well, hello. We're all human, right? And what happens? Monday morning comes along, and we're back out there in those trenches, and we're fighting, right? We're fighting that same battle that we were fighting today when we came in those doors. And believe it or not, those battles will be there when you walk right out those doors. So it's good to come in here. It's good to get recharged. And it's good to leave those cares at the door. And we'll look at an example of someone who got wearied in his journey. Take your Bibles and turn over to John chapter 4. We can just maybe gather an example or two out of here. And John chapter 4, I'll start reading with verse number 1. John chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So here we have Jesus getting wearied in his journey. He's been going along, and he's just getting tired. He wants to take a break. He sits down by this well, and as we see here, he asks for a drink of water. And you know, weariness will come just from living, right? And day-to-day activities, if you haven't noticed, we live in a fast-paced society now. And if you look back at let's just say 2020, right? Because that's what everybody seems to talk about. But I hate to admit it, but in 2020, when everything kind of came to a screeching halt, it was kind of, to me, a little bit, was kind of a breath of fresh air in a way that everything stopped and it was just going to work. And things just shut down as far as what we know. It's, you know, unfortunately we had to miss church, or we had to change our church setup. But not having to do all those extra things, it kind of just gave you like a breather. And it allowed, and now today, I mean, we're back to gunning. Running and gunning, as some people say. You know, many times we're being pulled in so many different directions, right? We got, just think of a date. I got a date here because it's on my mind. June 25th. There's a lot going on June 25th this year. That's the Blaine Parade. Some people are going to be out of town. There's a group leaving for Mexico for a missions trip that day. Possibly someone moving that day. I think a baby's due that day. There's so many things that it's like, what do I do? I could be here, 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 and here. I have a wedding that day. Okay. What do you do? And trying to juggle all that, right? So you can see, think of yourself. Everybody has their own things going, and there's things in your life that'll get you wearied out. Not weirded out, wearied. But like this week, for instance, I'll just tell you my example. I don't want to talk about myself, but knowing this last week was a real busy week for us. Hannah just finished up firearm safety, and I knew I was going to be up here Sunday morning, so I had getting all that together. I'm on overtime at work, so Monday on the way home, radiator blows, what I thought was the radiator. So now I got antifreeze leaking all in the driveway. I'm like, I just don't have time to deal with this. Thankfully, there's a guy that I work with that lives, I don't know if you guys remember John that came and visited. He lives just a couple minutes from me. So he was bringing me to work and bringing me home and stuff, and ended up only being just a rusted factory clamp. I guess after 18 years, what do you expect, right? So in the end, you know, I'm like, I even said it Monday night, I'm like, oh, this week I got hardly any time at home, you know, church on Wednesday, firearm safety on Thursday, Friday had a little bit of time, Saturday, yesterday we had our, if anybody done it with their kids, you have a field day, and that's where you go out and you put everything you learned in class into action, everybody from handling a firearm to everything. And so that was yesterday, and that had been on the books since we signed up for the class. And it was wet yesterday. I don't know if any of you guys were outside, but it was wet. And so all that to say is that can get a guy weary. I mean, I just want to stop. I just want to get. I don't want to deal with it. And I don't know, that Jesus in this instance was like, I just don't want to deal with anybody anymore. I'm just tired. I want to be done. But he wanted a break. And, you know, think of his time here on earth and all the accounts of him being sought out by many folks, right? For healing, understanding. The devils was tempting him constantly. And he's being falsely accused. And a lot, we can relate to that. A lot of that happens with us. You know, and after a while, a guy just gets tired. He just gets tired and he wants to take a break and just give up. He wants to quit the journey. It's okay to take a break once in a while. I mean, we go on vacation and It's good to get some downtime to kind of get recharged, so to speak. But that doesn't mean we have to quit fighting. You know, each one of us has something unique that we do to get to take a break, to recharge. Some people like just to stay home, don't answer the phone, don't do anything. Some people like to go away. But whatever that is, and whatever you have that you kind of fall back on to get your mind off of things that we would call fun, we need to guard against that. We need to guard that doesn't take us, that we don't allow that to take us out of the fight. I don't know if any of you know this, but I like archery. And a couple years ago, I was starting to shoot some tournaments and wanted to do more 3D aspect of stuff. Well, most of that stuff, those tournaments, are on Sundays. And it's fun, I love it, and I enjoy it. And for me, it's a degressor. I do wish I would have stuck with piano, because it would be nice to come home and play it out after a day at work. But sometimes I shoot my bow instead. But you have to make a decision. I could allow that to be the thing, and where would it take me? Where would it take me? I don't know if everybody else has different things. You could like a lot of fishing, right? And you're always off going, trying a new lake or going somewhere else. And if you look around, most people have Sundays where they don't do anything. I've noticed that. It's all the way through Saturday, and then they're just kind of sit around Sunday. I see that in some of my family and just kind of some of the people I know. And they're like, yeah, we'll just do it on Sunday. It's just our day of not doing nothing. We'll have a wedding shower that day because nobody else is doing anything. So let's just do it that day because we're busy on Saturday. See, all that stuff. And we have to be careful of that. We have to not allow that to take us out of the fight. It's okay to take a break. We need it. You need it every now and then. But you always don't have to take a break. And when you're on break, don't quit fighting. Don't quit fighting. Let's look down here at verse number 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, that thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So you could take from this example here of what to do when you're weary. What did Jesus do? He did what was right. He kept spreading the gospel. And if we read on further down, we know the story. And he speaks with the woman. He wants her to go get her husband. She says, I have no husbands. He's right. He goes, you're right. You've had five, and the one you're with is not thy husband. And by him going and speaking with her, she comes to the knowledge of the Messiah. And over in verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testifieth, he told me all that I ever did. And so by being wearied in his journey, he kept spreading the gospel. And I guess when we go on vacation or when we go away and we want to be down, that's not the time to stop working. It's not the time to stop spreading the gospel. Have you ever shared the gospel with someone and saw how excited they got? It's a pretty eye-opening thing. You get excited too. And it really hit home for me when I got to go on a missions trip. And I know I didn't want to have to bring it, but it's kind of what I'm not telling you to go on a missions trip, but you guys know you've been through this before. But for me, it was an eye-opener to see the response of people. And just the excitement that they got. That my first missions trip, believe it or not, was in 2015 when I went to Prague. My wife and I went to Prague with Couriers for Christ. And I can still remember standing at the top of those stairs in that hall and watching those people come up. And I'm like, I've heard Dave talk about it. I've heard everybody who's gone before talk about it. But I've never experienced it. I've never seen it. And to see it and be there, I mean, it brought tears in my eyes. And I couldn't believe the people in this huge city. And we were all over the place. And they got there. They're coming up. And then just the excitement of them getting their Bibles, being there, it did something to me. And it also gave me a better understanding or a better knowledge, I don't know what's the right word, but by seeing how the missionaries are, it gave me a better understanding of what they go through when they're on the field. Because I've grown up here, and I've seen many missionaries come through. I've seen many presentations. And yeah, the pictures, they tug at your heart, and they're like, yeah, we should go there. But you walk out those doors, and you're on to your daily life, right? Until you go and see what a missionary has, how they live, what they do, you can't relate that. To me, I couldn't relate that until I was actually there sitting with them and visiting with them. And to me, that got me fired up in a way, and that should get you guys fired up. It should get you excited to share the gospel. A couple weeks ago, I had a customer. I was in his house, and I got all done working, and he pulls out of his pocket. He goes, "Can I give you something that changed my life and did a really good, it helped me out a lot?" And he hands me a gospel track. And I said, and I was running that day. I was not in the best frame of mind, but he's asking me a lot of questions. I kind of got short with him a little bit, but then he gave me that, and I thought, I changed my countenance a little bit, and I didn't say nothing bad, and it's just, my wife knows, my demeanor, you know, I can get a little irritable, as some would say, but he was happy, he was excited, and I said, "I'm born again." I said, "You know, I've been doing this job 22 years, and I can count on one hand how many times someone has tried to share the gospel with me. In all the homes, all the churches I've been in, all the pastors' homes I've been in, and not one person cares." I shouldn't say one person. I can count on one hand how many people cared to share the gospel with me. And he was excited. And I said, "I appreciate this." And I read it, and he goes to an evangelical free church. But you know, I read through there. If I was in the right, if I was a person that knew I needed a Savior and was at that point of getting saved, I could have got saved from that track. It was watered down, but I could have got saved. But he was, "Can I give you something that changed my life forever?" I'm like, wow. And we should be that excited. We really should. And I know if your jobs and stuff, you got to be careful on that, because you're there on the behalf of the company you work for. So if you're in a customer-facing field, it's a little different. But you can do other things. A couple years ago, I seen in the basement in a house a chick track on the floor. And it was right around the fair time. It had our church on it. So it got there. This was over in St. Paul. So it was just kind of neat to see, wow, look at that. There's a chick track. Got in the house. So they do get around. They do get around. So what Jesus did here when he got wearied, he shared the gospel. And look at the lives that changed. Many people in the city believed. Another thing that's right to do, and we just heard a lot about this recently, is praying. Pastor touched on it, preached on it on Sunday night. So I'm not going to say much about it, but praying. And we all have it. I go through it. I'm not the best. It's like, I agree with Pastor. I think he's a lot better at it than I am. I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it, but I know me. And it's something we all struggle with. I think I found throughout the day it's always kind of nice to be, I wouldn't say in a constant prayer, but the days I'm having good is the radio's off and kind of just thinking about, just kind of got him in the forefront, just thinking about him. Not necessarily praying, but just thinking. So that's right to do. Don't quit praying. And life's busy, right? Life's fast-paced. You get up late because the power went out and the alarm, your clock didn't go off, and you shut your phone off at night. You get up late, whew, out the door. And you just, things just come and go. Your life's just always running. Another one that's right to do and not to stop when you're going on vacation is reading your Bible. Some of us in here read more than others. That's one of my weaknesses is I'm not a reader. My favorite books are the ones that have pictures in them, but it's hard to get a lot out of that. Even though a picture is worth 1,000 words. I don't know. But it's something I have to really, there's days I go and I don't read. And it's something I have to really consciously put myself to do. And maybe some of you, that's your downtime, is you love reading. I'm happy for you. Not me. At the end of the day, I sit down, and my wife can attest, I'll try to read or do something, and it's usually within a half hour to an hour, or I'll just sit down, we'll watch a TV or something, and it's just, I'm out. And then she's got to carry me to bed, so. So it's hard. Just keep reading your Bible. We've heard a lot about it, and we hear it constantly, right? Because it's something that the devil doesn't want us doing. And it's always going to be a fight. It's always going to be a battle. And if you can get yourself to a point where it's, I hate to use the word a habit, but if you can get yourself to that point, you're a step ahead of somebody who it's not a habit for. And it's going to do you good. I remember seeing my dad, my parents always reading growing up. And we didn't have a television in our house till I was 16. So mid-90s. And people look at me like, what? What did you do? I said, well, you know those streetlights out there, when they came on, we had to be home. Oh. But we would, and then when my dad was reading, no peeps, no noise. So yeah, it was, I seen him spend a lot of time reading. And it's good to keep reading your Bible. What's another one that's right to do? Stay in church. Many times when we're on vacation, we don't go to church like we do here. We try to find a church. We go up by Park Rapids area and we'll visit the church up there. But stay in church. And I say all that to say is these days, we all know you can get anything you want off the internet. And everyone in here has a handheld computer that doubles as a communication device. And you can get anything you want, and they even make it easy for you. They cater the information to what you search. So you don't have to really search it out. There's algorithms put in place to where you're liking this specific thing, and boom, here it comes. I've been looking at vehicles, and boom, here they come. All because I searched something. Boom, here they come, right? So they make it easy for you. It's ever more available than ever before. You don't have to wait to get home to get on the dial up and wait for all that to happen. You can do it right here while pastor's preaching, and you can give him something that he didn't know, answer a question that he had. But, you know, also, I've been on vacation. We've been on vacation, and we've live-streamed church before. And having that avenue was great, but it's not the same. It's not the same. And we know that especially from the past couple of years. It's not the same as being here in church. And I hope it should mean, church now should mean more to you than it did before 2020. Because, what do they say? You don't know what you have till it's gone. And when we didn't have church, it's okay. You know, it was all right for a couple weeks. But then it's just like, where is it? You need that interaction. You need that. And it's not the same. It's not the same as being here. And that's everything from the music to the preaching. When Pastor did a really good job, and the preaching was the same as if we were still here. But it didn't speak to me the same way as it did when I'm sitting here. The music was good. We improvised really well, and the music was still good. But it's not the same. It's not the same when you're in a room full of people just singing their hearts out. It's not the same. And what else do you not get from not staying in church? You don't get the accountability to each other. And you don't get the accountability to the Lord. You know, I can find anything I want on the internet that caters to my wants and likings, whether it be from worldly stuff to spiritual stuff, right? And there's many of you here now that have come to us via the internet, and we're thankful for that because you're searching it out. And it can still be the other way. You don't like what's going on here, and you're like, I think I could do better elsewhere. And now you're on there, and it's all the stuff's now coming to what, hey, you like this kind of music more, you like this type of preaching. And now it's all coming at you, and pretty soon you know it, you're not here, you're following some guy on the internet, and you're just going on with your daily life, and you're not being held accountable to anybody. And you do that because the preaching, the Lord hit a sore spot with you. Usually that's what gets us upset, is when the Lord hits us with something that he knows that you should be dealing with. It happens to me almost every weekend. But probably not you guys, because you guys are probably on a different level than I am. Hey, and when I'm listening to something on the internet and I don't like what he's preaching, off. I can just shut it off. Ooh, yeah, no. We'll shut that off. Let's go over here. This makes me feel good. This makes me feel good. Puts a smile on my face. Yeah, I like this. This makes you feel really good. You can't just shut that off here. You can, but you're still getting it. When you're internet churching, you don't get to experience the Lord walking up and down the aisles and touching you on the shoulder and saying, "Hey, what about you? What about you?" You don't get that. You don't get that. You can maybe get a little bit of it. But you know, it's not the same. It's what I'm trying to say. It's not the same. But he can still meet with you there. But he can't. It's not the same as being here. In Proverbs 27, verse 17, it says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." It's good to be together and to be held accountable. It's good to be together and to be held accountable. We sharpen each other by holding each other accountable. Whether you want to believe it or not, we're all accountable to each other and to the Lord. And what's the church for? The Lord set this up for us for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. And how about this one? How many times have you not wanted to come here? Come to church, but you did. You got in the car, and you were glad you did. You were glad you did. I'm the first one to admit that. When I'm getting weary, and I don't want to deal with anything, I just want to relax. And for some reason, it's easy to want to relax when there's a church service going on. Get in the car and come to church. For a couple weeks, it seemed like a couple weeks in a row, but I don't think it was. Hannah, she probably don't want me saying this, but seemed like every Sunday morning, she was getting sick. Looking back on it, she kind of was sick, but it kind of became a pattern. And she wanted to stay home, okay, but I'm like, no, we're going to go to church. And are they really sick or are they just saying they're sick? And you know your kid after a while, they kind of dramatize things a little bit. You know, on a few of these occasions, she ended up getting sick. One was COVID, you know, so whatever. But you know what I'm saying is you don't want that to become not a standard ain't the right word, but just a practice. And we do need to do that with ourselves. We do that with our children. Well, how about yourself? You get home from work and you see I should probably take care of that, but there's church tonight. Nah, that's all right. Church will still be there on Sunday when I want to go. That's not the right attitude to have. Because you can do that once in a while, and pretty soon once in a while turns into, once more often. And then next thing you know, I'm like, where'd Jake go? Has anybody seen Jake? You know, not picking on Jake, but he was right there when I looked up. But you know, you get the point. How many times, like I said, okay, you're glad you came to church. And what did it do? It put a giddy up in your step, right? Made you got rejuvenated, you got edified because you were here. Whatever battle, whatever thing you were going through prior to coming that you didn't want to go, it kind of was just like, that really wasn't that big a deal looking back on it. And this is nothing new for you guys. I know that. But to me, I also find encouraging is you can look around this room, you can look, sitting right next near you is somebody who has stayed in the faith for a long time. And I can't help but still think about our missionaries. I think of the Pizzos. And I tell you what, if there's an example of a reason to get weary, when they first wanted to leave and what they went through, what the example they were to me of staying faithful is, you know, that was neat to see. We have a missionary leaving potentially on Tuesday, I believe it is, and they wanted to be there. They've gone through many things that have kind of held them back, and all those things is a chance to be weary, a chance to just like, why bother? We have a couple missionaries that are still sitting here today that have been on their field for a very long time. To me, that's a long time because it's more than half my life. And in a place where they can't do this as openly as we can. And you get yours, and they've stayed there and they've remained faithful. And here we have something that, someone cuts me off on the way to church and I'm mad and I'm going to turn and go home. I mean, maybe that's happened to you, maybe not, I don't know. But think of those other people that you're surrounded with here, that if you were an internet church person constantly, you wouldn't have those examples. You wouldn't have each other to look at and say, look at that brother and sister, what they're doing and what they're going through on a constant basis, and what I don't have anything that really amounts to what they constantly go through. And look at them, they've stayed faithful. And I've said this for many times and many years, is if someone like that, like my parents, a lot of us, you guys my age, you're not as old as me, but close, all your parents, if it wasn't the real deal, if it wasn't the real deal, if what we have here wasn't the real deal, why would they still be here? Why would, that's just, I've said that before, and I still say that again. So you have missionaries right here in church that, if you wonder about, is it worth to stay faithful, just, why don't you ask them what they think? Or ask someone who's been here for a long time. I'm sure Bryce would love to tell you. Just ask him. So that's something that's doing to do what's right. Stay in church. Stay in church. Let's look at this other example of doing what's right and to keep on fighting. Cherick, take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Samuel. First Samuel chapter 27. I'm going to look at David here in this instance. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1, it says, "And David said in his heart, 'I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand.'" So here we have David. He has escaped to the land of the Philistines to hide from Saul, right? What I'm actually getting to is over in chapter 30, but in chapter 28, it says, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, 'Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men.'" So the Philistines are gathered together for war against Israel, and David is going to go out to battle with them. But then the lords of the Philistines said to David, "No, you can't go," because over in verse chapter 29, verse 3, it says, we'll start in chapter verse number 1, "Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed on in the reward with Achish. Then said the princes of the Philistines, 'What do these Hebrews here?' And Achish said unto the princes of the Philistines, 'Is not this David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, which hath been with me these days or these years? And I have found no fault in him since he fell unto me this day.'" And then over here, we read down further down in chapter 29 where they said, "No, he can't go with us. He needs to go back," because they were afraid that David then would turn on them and fight for the Israelites. So verse number 11 in chapter 29, "So David and his men rose up early to depart in the morning and to return into the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel." So over in chapter 30, it says, "And they came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire." And over in chapter 27, Achish gave Ziklag to David, right? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day, wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a year and four months. So the Amalekites came in here and they took over Ziklag and burned it. And when they came back, him and his men came back, what did they found? They found that the women were taken captives. They slew not anything, in verse number 2, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Verse number 4, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam and the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. And think about how you would handle this situation. So what I was getting at was in verse number 6, where David was greatly distressed. Well, that's a reason to get weary, a reason to get distressed. You're out and you come back and your wife's and everything's burned. That's a good reason in my mind to be weary, to quit. And what did David do? Read down a little further down in the verse. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself. It doesn't say how he encouraged himself per se, but he sought the Lord, right? Could it be through prayer? Could it be through the Word of God? He did go and speak with Abiathar the priest, verse number 7. So maybe he went to church. I don't know. And asked for the ephod. And through that, the Lord told him that he should pursue and that he'll overtake them. So the Lord told him to keep on fighting, and David did. In verse number 18 and through 19, it says, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil. David recovered all. He got it all back. The Lord blessed them all. Had he not chose to do what the Lord told him, it'd be probably a little different situation. When trials and hard times come along, it's important to keep fighting and doing what's right. The Lord will bless your faithfulness to keep fighting and doing what's right. Think about David over there in 2 Samuel chapter 11, when it was time for the kings to go forth to battle. He sent Joab instead, and he stayed back, right? And we know the story. You know, maybe David was weary from fighting and wanted to stay back and kind of rest up. But he wanted to take a break from fighting. I'm just going to stay home this time. I don't want to go to church. I'm just going to stay home. And look what happened. When you're not doing what is right, there's a good chance you're going to get into something, get in trouble. And we can take from that situation of getting in trouble. And look at how many people it affected because of his decision to not go out to battle when the kings go out to battle. And as a parent, before we had children, my wife and I kind of got a little lazy with church. And it hit me hard when the kids were born, and I thought, I have a responsibility now that I need to do what I can for them. And I don't do all that I should, I know that. But we work hard at it, and it was important to me that as much as we can to be here when those doors are open, not just for our sake, but for the kids' sake. And I appreciated that aspect, and as I've grown older, I've grown to really appreciate what the faithfulness my parents have been. And I've said it before, and I'm sorry to repeat it, but to me, that's a huge example. And it's important. It's important. I asked my dad some years ago if he had to do it all over again, what he would do differently. And I didn't ask that because I wanted to bring up anything through the past or anything like that, but I wanted to know if he was to do it over, what he would change. Just maybe I can try to learn from something like that. And he goes, I wouldn't change anything. He goes, the most important thing I would do is stay in church. Stay in church. And he's proved it. And he's proved it. And like I said before, if it wasn't the real deal, they wouldn't be here. They wouldn't be here. So look, David, think of all the people that were affected by his decision to stay back from the battle. And when we're getting in trouble, we don't think of that. We don't think of who it's going to affect until it's over. And then you can't change it. So I was coming through my Bible reading, and I was reading in 1 Corinthians here. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And what does Paul tell us here in verse number 58? 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So Paul tells us here to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So what did Jesus do when he got wearied? He kept doing the work of the Lord. That's what we need to keep doing. Our labor is not in vain. We just need to keep doing the Lord's work. Keep telling others about him. Keep trying to win the lost. Keep seeking the Lord. We heard about seeking in revival, right? I think it was the first or second messages. We need to keep seeking him. Don't lose that sight. Holding your ground and not letting yourself get out of the fight. It's going to be hard some days because you just want to give up. You just want to throw in the towel. It's going to be hard. And stay in church. Stay in church. And be careful to not let someone come along and tickle your ears. I've seen it now more with this next generation coming up where the people my age, their kids, people my age don't care anything about church. Their kids, more than likely, aren't going to really even know what church is, other than the buildings they drive by and their parents, oh, that's a church, because it might say church on there. But if something's going to tickle their ear, though, that's going to tell them what they want to hear. And we got to be careful not to let that affect us as well. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If you faint, you're not going to be reaping, right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Keep working. Keep sowing the seed. Keep sowing the seed. Let's close with this, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 28 says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. God never fainted. God never got weary. Jesus got weary, right? Because he's God manifest in the flesh. He got weary so he can relate to we'll get weary. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. There it is, you're going to get weary. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We just need to keep waiting on the Lord. And he's going to give us the strength we need when the trials come and tribulations. We need to seek him. We need to wait on him. And we have a good chance of not fainting. So with that, I don't know. I hope I didn't ramble back and forth. It's kind of like my thought process. I know it's not a boom, boom, boom outline, but I pray that it was just edifying, just something, a little bit of encouragement. I know we've heard a lot of preaching, Bible studies along this topic in the last few months, but it's something to not take lightly, and it'll help you in the long run. It really will. And so we got people standing out back there out in the foyer. So thank you for your time. Take a quick break, and then we'll get service started shortly.